With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
There are just a handful of guys we enjoy talking with, and I don't know that we enjoy talking with anybody more than our next guest. He worked for the New York Times, the LA Daily News. You can hear him on Sirius XM NBA Radio. He's the host of the Full 48 podcast, now the senior NBA writer for the Bleacher Report. He's one of the best going. He's Mr. Howard Beck. Howard, good to have you with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. How you doing?
Hey, Howard.
I'm doing well, fellas. How are you?
Good.
We're doing well. Before we get to the bubble as a whole, Andre Drummond saying yesterday on a podcast, yeah, I'm going to pick up that $28.7 million option, return to Cleveland. I like it there, like the coaching staff, team, fans, everything else. Your thoughts on Drummond's return to the Cavs?
Well, the decision wasn't much of a decision, obviously. It was kind of a no-brainer, given where things are with the NBA's economy. And that $28 million probably is not going to be $28 million. I don't know what the math or what the formula to apply is, what the percentage is, but we're all going to have to adjust, ratchet down what the cap is, what everybody's salaries are. Like, nothing is going to be what we thought it was when all this stuff was put to paper, once the NBA figures out what its actual losses for the year are and sets everything for next year. But on a practical level, just even on a playing level, I think this always made sense for both Drummond and for the Cavs. Like, you know, the Pistons clearly wanted to move on. The Cavs wanted to take a flyer on him. I don't think they did. They acquired him thinking that he was going to leave anytime soon, you know, whether they were going to re-sign him as a free agent or whether they were going to just see what he could give them for part of this season and next. I'm not sure how to value an Andre Drummond in today's NBA anymore. He's a stat stuffer, and I don't mean that in a pejorative way, but he collects a lot of numbers, and I think in today's NBA where people want a center who is a rim protector, a versatile defender on the perimeter, and on the offensive side, be able to stretch the floor and be able to shoot jumpers, like, I don't know if Andre Drummond's as valuable in the NBA in 2020 as he was, 5 years ago or would have been 10 or 20 years ago. And I think there are people around the NBA who have that question. And I given that the Cavs don't have a whole lot to hang their hat on right now in terms of what the direction is, I think, taking a guy who is a proven commodity, who you know exactly what he brings you day to day, everything is just a test run. Let's see what, if these pieces fit, let's see how he meshes with our young guys. And it's, right now it's a 1-year investment.
Howard, where do you think they sit with Tristan Thompson? Cause I would think if this is a normal year, Tristan Thompson's gone, but because of, what the salary situation might be for a free agent next year, there's some hope for Tristan Thompson. Now, that said, with Andre Drummond, is there room for Drummond and Thompson on the Cavaliers with J.B. Bickerstaff? Or is it more likely the Cavaliers could keep Thompson just because of the current financial state of the NBA?
I don't know if the financial side of it is the primary issue. I think it's more of a fit. I think the first questions should be about fit and direction. Like, where is this team going? It's not about what you can do next season. It's about where you're going in the next, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And does Tristan Thompson on another contract, another, 3 or 4 year deal make sense as a key piece moving forward, whatever it costs, even if you could get him quote unquote cheap because the NBA economy is suddenly collapsing. And, everybody's going to come a little bit cheaper. Well, but it's still proportional to whatever the new cap is. So I don't know what a cheap flyer is at this point. I don't know that anybody's going to be knocking the door down for Tristan Thompson anyway. I don't know what the competition would be, but whatever you could get him for, it's not really about contract price or length. It's more like, does he make sense on a team that has Kevin Love and Andre Drummond? How long are you hanging on to Kevin Love? You know, what is the vision for the next, you know, few years? So they have to answer those questions. And if the answer to those questions is, well, we're still moving younger, and we think that our front court is set with Drummond and Love, at least for the time being, and you're not going to play Thompson and Drummond together a ton, then maybe they're just moving on from him for practical basketball reasons.
And I agree with you, you have a high draft choice. Maybe you can figure it out later. You know, and you'll have some assets to trade at the trade deadline if you're the Cavaliers, and maybe try and put a product on the floor, a team on the floor that might be more cohesive by the end of the season than it is at the beginning of the season, with pieces that match a little bit better.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, there's always a case to be made that, hey, look, protect your assets. Hold on to guys that you think have value, because even if it doesn't work out for you, even if you decide to move in a different direction, that's somebody you trade at some point. But thinking like that is what got them into the Kevin Love mess in the first place. And, you know, so you got to be careful on how much you're going to invest in a guy where the philosophy is, well, we just want to protect the asset, or we want to use this guy for a move later on. That's fine, as long as you can get him on the right deal.
Are you going inside the campus, the bubble, Howard? I'm just curious. Are you going to go down to Orlando?
No.
Cover?
No.
You're not going to?
Yeah, not consideration by me.
Gotcha.
I understand
wonder how many
that.
Media members are actually going. Yeah. Was it an option for you?
What's that?
Was it an option for you?
Well, technically there's no option for anybody yet, because that process has not begun. The plans for media coverage, the application, credential process, all of that, I believe will become public in the next, I'm going to say 24 to 48 hours. That's coming soon. I know more than I can share, unfortunately, because I'm on the board of the Pro Basketball Writers Association, and we've been in discussions with the league on this for weeks. All I can tell you is that there will be a very limited number allowed in the bubble, and that the restrictions in concert with that are such that it does not make any sense for me at all. I'm not.
Gotcha.
I don't want to be sequestered for 3 months living under those restrictions, and it's not worth it. It's not worth the risk. It's going to be incredibly expensive. Again, those numbers will be public soon enough.
Oh yeah. Right.
Howard Beck's joining us from the Bleacher Report. Howard, on your Twitter about 2 hours ago, you retweeted a tweet from Tim Reynolds talking about testing in 561 positives on over 3,200 cases, like at 17%. With the virus apparently picking up steam in Florida and the NBA heading there, it doesn't feel quite as comfortable as it did when that plan was originally announced. Is there wiggle room here, or is it full steam ahead?
Only Adam Silver can really answer that question. And, you know, I think the league's stance right now, and again, I think we're going to hear from Adam hopefully in the next 24 to 48 hours. I think the league is determined to do this. And I think the league is determined to do it so long as they think that they can have a reasonably safe bubble, while knowing all along it's not going to be an impermeable bubble. Disney employees are going to come and go. They're not going to be subject to the NBA's restrictions that they're having on players and personnel. And that's a problem, potentially, especially in a county where cases are continuing to climb. It's almost inevitable that somebody's going to be infected and probably not even be aware of it, and be in the bubble doing whatever, this cleaning rooms or cooking meals or something. And they're going to do their best to make sure that Disney employees are not, you know, getting anywhere near NBA personnel, but there's a lot of things to try to control for there. And besides that, while players and team personnel are not supposed to leave the bubble for any reason, and are subjected to some penalties and lockdown and everything if they leave and come back, it doesn't mean somebody's not going to try. They're going to get bored at some point and stir crazy. So there's risk. There's no question there's risk, and the risk only goes up the more those numbers go up.
Howard, it's funny because it's about once every 5 years you hear about a rookie that, like, sneaks away from RTP. that sticks away, that sneaks away from the rookie transition program. And I keep thinking about that as we get set to go to the campus and think, wow, man, if they can't keep, you know, rookies that are just entering the league every once in a while in a situation where they're not going to stay there, what makes you think they're going to stay on campus the whole time? I'm also curious about your thoughts on maybe some players that may not want to go. You know, if you're in a contract year and I don't know, there's got to be some players that are sitting out there going, you know what, man, I don't know if this is right for me. I don't know if I should be going.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a handful of guys, you know, decide not to go. Davis Bertans from the Wizards and Trevor Ariza and Avery Bradley. And there will probably be others. As long as the league isn't losing major stars, they're probably fine. But it's going to hurt teams. I mean, Ariza's important to the Trailblazers. Avery Bradley's important to the Lakers. You know, to the extent of the Wizards, I mean, not like they had much of a chance of doing anything anyway beyond the eight games, but Bertans is important to the Wizards. There are going to be others who, whether it's because of personal safety concerns or health concerns, family health concerns, contract concerns, injury concerns, yeah, there's going to be some. I think it's fully justified. I think, you know, this is a highly unusual thing. Nobody signed up for this. This is not what anybody anticipated. And so it's a very individual decision.
Howard, could this get to the point where the NBA just says, this isn't going to work, and we'll see you for the 2020-2021 season?
There's hundreds of millions of dollars at stake here, like close to a billion. And so I think that it's going to take something extreme for them to call this off. The NBA economy is depending on this right now, and they're going to have losses for this year regardless, pretty big losses, but they're trying to make those losses a little smaller and playing these games and finishing out the season, in addition to making sure the historical record is complete and keeping the integrity of the season. There's, you know, the financial part of it is no small thing. So I don't see that happening. But if it's just an all out outbreak in Orlando and emergency rooms are overflowing, and if it gets to be like it was, you know, in New York where I live early on, where, you know, there were refrigerated trucks, you know, piled with bodies, then yeah, that would be a bad look and probably too risky and probably pushing it too far. But we're not to that extreme yet. But yeah, I'm sure there's a breaking point somewhere there. Again, I think only Adam Silver knows for sure what that is.
Howard, always a pleasure. And I love reading your work, and I've always enjoyed talking with you. So thank you very much for joining us today.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Howard Beck, Bleacher Report. And you can follow Howard on Twitter. And I would. You want to know something about the NBA, it's at Howard Beck, just as it sounds, at Howard Beck on Twitter. And he's the senior NBA writer for Bleacher Report, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.